Choose a random street in a random neighborhood on a random day in Toronto, and odds are the first person you see, not including tourists, won't have been born in Canada. 51%, or 1.4 of its 2.7 million residents, are immigrants, significantly more than Los Angeles, San Francisco, or even New York. Last year, Canada welcomed 437,000 new permanent residents, 1% of its entire national population. When you count all new residents, permanent and not, the nation grew by 2.7%, making it the 16th fastest growing country in the world and the only one of these not in Africa or Asia. And yet, Canada is just getting started. 13 years from now, immigrants are expected to make up 30% of the population, compared to 23% today. Now compare that to the melting pot known as the United States of America. When you ask Americans how many immigrants they think are in the country, the average answer is 40%. In fact, every demographic group – white, black, Latino, Asian, liberal, conservative – even immigrants themselves vastly overestimates the true number – just 14%. Here's a list of the 34 countries and territories with a larger share of immigrants per capita than the US. After removing small countries, those with a population under 10 million, you can see what actually sets America apart – its size. The United States is the largest country that accepts a significant share of immigrants. But as a share of the population, Canada, far more than America, is truly a nation of immigrants. Even more striking is the large number of young engineers, doctors, and scientists settling in Canada over the United States. Nearly the same number of documented employment-based immigrants entered Canada as the US in 2022, despite being only one-tenth as large. No offense to our exceptionally friendly northern neighbors, but why? The simple answer is that immigrating to the United States is an insanely difficult, stressful, costly, lengthy, and arbitrary process, while immigrating to Canada isn't. To see how, let's compare the journeys of two hypothetical immigrants. Sanjay and Rohan were both born in India. They both scored in the 95th percentile on their college entrance exams, and they both received scholarships to study abroad. Sanjay to Columbia in New York, and Rohan to McGill in Montreal. After graduating, Rohan is allowed to work in Canada for 3 additional years. Sanjay, 1 year, or 3 with a STEM major. So far, so good. But then the paths of our two immigrants rapidly begin to diverge. Assuming Sanjay doesn't have $1 million to invest or a close US citizen relative, he'll be thrown into the grueling H-1B gauntlet. The H-1B is a high-skill visa for in-demand specialty occupations like programmers and accountants. To try for one, Sanjay will need to find an employer who agrees to pay him no less than the prevailing wage for that job and to sponsor his application. But that alone is no guarantee. Far from it. For the last 20 years, Congress has limited the number of H-1Bs to 65,000 per year, with an additional 20,000 for those with advanced degrees. And in every one of those years, typically in less than 5 days, more than the maximum 85,000 people have applied. Sanjay, therefore, will have to play the lottery. Despite attending one of America's best schools, receiving a perfect GPA, mastering English, and acclimating well, his name will be thrown, along with thousands of others, into a random number generator. At this point, he'll likely lose and be kicked back to square one. In a good year, 43% of applicants are selected. In a bad one, like last year, just 14.6%, though the Department of Homeland Security attributes this to a rise in fraud. After educating Sanjay for years, America will unintentionally gift his valuable knowledge and labor to another country. At the exact moment he's ready to contribute to the US economy, he'll be forced to either leave or go back to school and delay his employment. But let's assume he's one of the lucky few. Having been selected, US Citizenship and Immigration Services will look, for the first time, at his application. If he's then approved, Sanjay will join the tiny elite circle of America's most fortunate immigrants. In 2021, the median wage for all US workers was $45,000. For H-1B holders, it was $108,000. Even many of the lowest paid H-1B holders make more than 75% of all Americans. If he chooses to, Sanjay will live a life of abundance. He'll drive a nice car, live in a big house, and eat at nice restaurants. But although he'll be financially comfortable, legally, he'll exist in a perpetual state of anxious precarity. That's because the H-1B is not a green card. It's a temporary work visa. For one, this means travel is more complex. Leaving the country, even for a few days, requires permission. And though unlikely, Sanjay will only be one irritable border guard away from being locked out of the place he spent most of a decade building a life in. Secondly, Sanjay doesn't have permission to work. He has permission to work for a specific employer. If he's fired or laid off, he'll have 60 harrowing days to find a new company willing to sponsor his visa, or else pack up and, along with his family, leave the country. Now, to escape this absurdity, Sanjay needs a green card. And in theory, he's already eligible to apply. But only his employer can apply on his behalf. In other words, the freedom to leave one's employer must, in most cases, be approved by that very employer. This process is not cheap, and only his company is allowed to pay. So, unless Sanjay's skills are truly irreplaceable, or his employer unusually generous, he may have to wait. After 3 more years, he'll need to renew his H-1B, which can only be done once and, since 2004, requires, for no clear reason, traveling back to your home country's US consulate and re-entering. If Sanjay hasn't found an employer willing to sponsor his green card after another 3 years, he'll be forced to leave. But again, let's assume he's lucky. After finding a sponsor, proving he won't negatively impact the wages of US workers and that there are no other qualified candidates, Sanjay will finally start waiting. Because not only does Congress limit the number of green cards, it also sets a limit per country, and that number is the same regardless of its population. 1.4 billion people live in India, 5 million in Norway. But the two countries have the same annual limit. Naturally, more Indians and Chinese apply than Norwegians, which creates a backlog of the former. As of July 2023, these are the priority dates for this type of green card. What this means is that Indians who applied on the 1st of January 2009 are just now receiving their green cards. Across all nationalities and all categories, these are the average wait times to receive one as of 2018. 22% waited between 10 and 19 years. 5% waited 20 years or more. In the meantime, Sanjay will be stuck in limbo, a temporary worker tied to a single employer, potentially for decades. During this time, he may watch as someone from a smaller country enters the US for the first time, receives a green card, and then even citizenship. Now, back to Rohan. Because he's worked in Canada, Rohan is eligible to apply for express entry. It, unlike the H-1B lottery, is transparent and predictable. It's based on a point system. Anyone can go online right now, enter things like your English proficiency, work experience, and age, and immediately see your score. It takes about 2 minutes. Every few weeks, the government invites everyone with a certain score to apply. Previous cutoffs are listed clearly on the website. If Rohan has a job offer in Canada, he'll very likely be approved. After that, not only will he not be tied to a specific employer, but he won't receive a work visa at all. He'll receive permanent residency. And because Canada has no discriminatory per-country limit, he'll receive it immediately and be treated the same as anyone from Norway, Nigeria, or Nepal. In other words, Rohan and his family will live with a degree of security and stability that Sanjay may not achieve for another decade or longer. And that's assuming Sanjay won the lottery and only has to wait a very optimistic 4 years for a green card. When viewed this way, it's really not surprising that so many high-skill workers immigrate to Canada. What's surprising is that despite this Kafkaesque bureaucracy, many still prefer America. On this, the data is pretty unambiguous. In a 2021 Gallup survey, of the 900 million people worldwide who wish to immigrate, nearly 20% said the United States was their first choice destination, far more than any other country. And among high-skill immigrants, that number is likely much higher. The number one reason is money. Most H-1B jobs are business, science, engineering, or computer-related. And to be frank, Canadian tech salaries are laughable by comparison. We're talking less than half the money for the same experience with the same responsibilities and title. An L5 software developer at Canada's Shopify makes something in the area of $121,000. An L4 at Google makes $264,000, and an L5, $367,000. The higher you go on the org chart, the larger the gap between US and Canadian wages. The most well-compensated software engineers at Facebook, Google, and Apple make $1 to $2 million a year. Those at Shopify make something like 15 to 30% as much. For this reason alone, a shocking number of graduates from Canada's top universities pack up and move south at the first opportunity. Then you have Canadian housing. An entire video should be devoted to this topic, but for now, this graph should do the trick. This is the growth in US income since 2005, and this is the growth in US housing prices. Alright, now here are Canadian incomes and Canadian housing. No one has ever called San Francisco an affordable place to live, but Toronto and Vancouver aren't much better, yet their salaries are dramatically lower. In 2021, nearly half of new immigrants to Canada settled in Ontario, and of them, the vast majority in one city, Toronto. That's a problem, because the average selling price of a home across the whole province of Ontario is $928,000. In British Columbia, over $1 million. In other words, housing prices provide immigrants with plenty of reasons not to settle in Canada, and high salaries, plenty of reasons to settle in the United States. They just can't. America's current immigration policies were mostly set in 1990, when just 15% of households had a personal computer. This was a time when virtually none of the current H-1B jobs even existed. Whatever flavor of reform you prefer, we're clearly past due for an update. And until that day comes, Canada is very happily filling this gap in the market. Just this year, for instance, it announced a new plan to allow H-1B workers to move to Canada, where they'd be immediately unshackled from their employer. This strategy of leveraging its proximity to and similarities with the United States only works because the American immigration system is so unbelievably broken. Canada need not address its severe housing crisis or do the difficult work of nurturing a Silicon Valley of the North. Whenever a Harvard graduate loses the H-1B lottery, or an Indian national is stuck waiting a decade or longer for a green card, Canada need only do what America won't: let them in. Now, some may argue that American immigration isn't broken so much as it has chosen different priorities. In 2021, 60% of new permanent residents in America were sponsored by family, and 26% by their employer. In Canada, these two categories are almost perfectly reversed. There, 20% were family-based and 62% for employment. It may appear that America's goal is to unite families, while Canada aims first and foremost to strengthen its economy. But what these numbers hide is the scale of each country's immigrant population. True, a smaller share of new Canadian immigrants are joining their families, but only because Canada welcomes so many immigrants in total. In fact, per capita, it has more family-sponsored permanent residents than the US. The same is true of humanitarian immigrants. Canada admits nearly twice as many refugees per capita. It isn't pro-wealthy immigrants to the exclusion of others. By most measures, it's pro-immigrant full stop. Today, for example, nearly 70% disagree that immigration levels are too high. Perhaps even more surprisingly, a majority in all three of its largest political parties support immigration. These surveys suggest the country has cultivated support for a multicultural society as much as a mere willingness to tolerate newcomers when economically convenient. Speaking of convenience, today's sponsor, Trade Coffee, delivers you a fast, fresh, and diverse palette of coffee right to your doorstep. You'll answer a few quick questions about your preferences. Whether you're a coffee expert or a beginner, Trade will find the perfect fit for you from over 450 selections across the country, from dark roast to espresso, blends, and more. Next, within 48 hours of roasting, your personalized coffee will be shipped to your home for maximum freshness. I just received this great-looking Seattle French roast, and before that, a Huckleberry dark roast from Denver. Right now, you can get a free bag of coffee with any subscription by clicking the link on screen or in the description below. That's drinktrade.com/polymatter. Thanks to Trade for sponsoring this video.